He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father and would love us with a love that would not cease.
I believed in him and found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me.
For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so
than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing.
Whosoever believeth on him will not be ashamed. The word means disappointed. And he is everything that he ever said that he would be. And also we can look at it from this standpoint. The great I am still is. And what a truth that is. Take your Bibles, please, with me to 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to share a couple of things that... I don't normally do it this way, but mother-in-law's visit. Oh, I am so happy to see you, the little boy said to his grandmother on his mother's side. Now maybe Daddy will do the trick he has been promising us. The grandmother was curious. What trick is that? She asked. Well, I heard him tell Mommy that he would climb the walls if you came to visit. But a little more in line with our message here. I came across this illustration. It said, an atheist was walking through the woods admiring all the accidents that evolution had created. What majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking alongside the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. Turning to look, he saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He ran away as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw the grizzly was closing. Somehow he ran even faster, so scared that tears came to his eyes. He looked again, and the bear was even closer. His heart was pounding, and he tried to run even faster, but tripped and fell to the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but the bear was right over him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising his right paw to strike. At that instant, the atheist cried, "Oh God, help!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. Even the river stopped moving as a bright light shone upon the man and a voice came out of the sky. "You deny my existence for all these years, teach others that I don't exist, and even credit creation to some cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and said, "I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all of these years, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out, the river ran, the sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed his head and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I'm about to receive, I am truly thankful." Now what in the world does that have to do with Mother's Day? Well, it has this to do. Just as sometimes atheists and others that look at creation and all the things of its glory around us and attribute it to an accident, some people look at the families in which they are born into as just an accident. And they don't realize that not only does God control how you are made in your mom's belly there and writes down all of your members and designs you exactly like He wants you, but He caused you to have the mother that you have today. And because of that, you can look and say, "Lord, for some reason, You have placed me here." And with that, then, we need to understand a little bit about the appreciation that we should have for the mothers that God has chosen for us to be with. Mother's Day is a time to think about mothers that God has given us, to reflect on the influence of mothers, to compliment the love and the faithfulness of mothers, and to be reminded of the importance of mothers as well as our responsibility as children. A mother's responsibility, as I said earlier, is a tremendous responsibility. Therefore, it must be approached with prayer. One of the great, my favorite Mother's Day prayer that I came across years ago reads like this: "Lord, give me patience when wee hands tug at me with their demands. Give me gentle and smiling eyes. Keep my lips from hasty replies. Let not weariness, confusion, or noise obscure my vision of life's fleeting joys. So when in years to come my house is still, no bitter memories its rooms may feel." You know, as a dad, I always had that prayer myself. And I think as parents we recognize that, and certainly as moms, that would be our prayer, our desire, that we would not look back on the short time that God gives us with our children and see them as time that I wasted, not being the influential person that I should be for God in their lives. I hope that would not be true of you, and therefore this morning, this message has two parts to it, one that we're going to look at, two mothers, and then one about mothers. Father, I pray that You would guide us as we look into this briefly this morning. Help us to understand the great importance of being a godly mother, And Father, also our responsibility to be able to honor our mothers properly, not just today, Lord, but in each day of our lives. Thank you, and may your Spirit guide us in every part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to see, first of all, two mothers here as a mother's example. Certainly one of the great areas of exampleship that comes to mind, or should come to mind when we think of mothers, is a mother's love. And we're going to talk about that just in a moment. But that is number one, I would think. There's another area, though, that is seen right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that is that which I would want to be exemplified, I would hope, by each mother that is present here with us today. It's just as important as love, and it's exemplified here by Eunice in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes here, and he says, "I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." He's speaking here to Timothy, young Timothy, a young man that eventually was the pastor there at Ephesus. And he says here, "I remember you day and night in my prayers there, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," that is, the genuine faith, not hypocritical, "the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Here we have this example here of faith. Now, this faith was not just a saving faith that we're talking about here. This is talking about more than that. It is a trusting faith, believing God, believing His Word, and that is important for each one of us, because if we do not believe the Word of God, we're at a loss to know who God is at all. Amen. The Word of God is what reveals to us who God is. Jesus Christ came to reveal God, and the Scripture, the written Word of God, reveals the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus, who reveals our Heavenly Father in heaven Himself there, and that is God who we speak of today and who we serve. And so it is important to realize there that we need to believe the Word of God. It's a trusting faith. Even a little faith God recognizes and honors. The second thing that we see here with faith, beyond salvation type faith, is faithfulness in a life, referring to their consistency, dependability, or steadfastness in a person's life. Children need to see a mom's faithfulness before the Lord. That's true of us as parents, but it is Mother's Day, and we'll stick with that. But right now, I hope that you understand that they need to see your trusting heart. They need to see your faithful life, because it is your faithfulness that will speak so many words to them, more than so many things that we could say in words. They see your life, and it makes a difference. And it's important for us to leave an heritage behind us that is going on because of faithfulness that they see in our lives. That song came to my mind there entitled, "Find Us Faithful." It's taken from Hebrews 12 in verse 1, where it speaks of there in Hebrews that we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race that is set before us, etc. And those witnesses are people that have died before us that were found faithful in their lives. Now, it's not talking about like a stadium. They're sitting up in heaven looking down and watching us. It wouldn't be much of a heaven if they had to watch what was going on in this world. But we're talking about the ones that specifically there in Hebrews chapter 11, the previous chapter, which is the faith chapter. He gives a great number of men and women that were examples of faith and faithfulness. And because we have all of these people that have gone before us that are faithful, let that be an encouragement to us to run our race that is set before us, to live our lives in faithfulness as well. And so the song says, "Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. A mother's example can have a great impact on the lives of her children, as well as us all as parents there. You know, as a child, can I speak something to you young people here today, especially you teens that are here today? Teen girls, let's see, because one day, Lord willing, you will be a mother. Our mothers that are sitting in here today are hearing a message about the importance of being an example. There are many mothers that are here today that their opportunity for impact is diminished because their children have already left the nest, so to speak. There are some young mothers in here that still have that opportunity before them. There are some mothers that have a different type of opportunity as a grandmother or a great-grandmother. But you teenage girls, one day, if God so pleases, will allow you to marry and have a child or children in which you will be the mother. And today, you are making choices in your life that will make a difference about the type of person that you will end up being as a mother to your children. And so the choices that you make today, understand that it's not just about today, but you are developing yourself into the young lady that one day you want your children to look at and say, I would like to be a faithful mom like my mom was to me. That should be the goal. And I encourage you young people there to have that, even as you teenage boys here, the same thing as being a father. We have a great privilege, and it is a great responsibility. And it is the making of that we can make those choices today in being that kind of an impact. Not only do we see here a mother's example, but we see also a mother's responsibility. If you'll flip over to Psalm 127. Parenthood in general is full of responsibility, meeting both the physical, the mental, the emotional needs, as well as the spiritual needs of our children. And while it's the father's ultimate responsibility, and dads, we'll get there on Father's Day, while it's the father's ultimate responsibility, much is delegated unto the mother. In Psalm 127, here verses 3 and 4, it says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth or of one's youth. We have here, explains to us the responsibility that you have as a mother, as parents, as we do. But if you'll notice here, it says there that children are like these arrows. Now, the arrows he's talking about are not like the arrows you go to the store and buy today. They're fiberglass or of other material there that's run out of a machine and so forth. And they all have, they're straight as a, for that purpose, the arrow needs to be straight. But in the olden days, that's not the way they made their arrows. They had to actually carve and shape those arrows in order for them to be used. And it was important in their day that an arrow be straight. And so there was time taken to carve and to straighten that arrow. And then the arrow had to be put in the bow and it had to be aimed properly. And then it had to be let go. So there are three elements there that we see exemplified here in the responsibility of a parent. And therefore, speaking of a mother here this morning, and that is, we need, especially in those younger years, to be carving and straightening the arrow of our children, their lives. And then as they become a little older in those teen years, possibly, we need to be aiming those direction of their lives as we see fit that God is directing them. And we need to be putting them in the right direction. But then there comes a time in which we have got to let go. And we've got to trust then and say, Lord, it's out of my hands. They are then making the decisions in their life completely by themselves. Sometimes our heart breaks over some of the decisions we see them make. Sometimes we are thrilled. Sometimes we are broken and later thrilled. Sometimes we never really get to see and understand totally all that goes on. But our responsibility remains the same. While God has given us that child, we need to be shaping them. We need to be aiming them for the day that we have to let them go. And then we trust the Lord. If we have trained that child in the way that he should go, then he will continue in that direction. He may waver here and there, but I believe that there is a input there that they cannot shake. Please be faithful in shaping your children and being the parent, the mother that you should be with that responsibility. Because Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Truly, mothers have a tremendous responsibility, as do both of us parents. The principle then that comes that we see in Scripture is, to whom much is given, much is required. But the continuation of that thought is, to whom much is given, much opportunity of blessing abides. There are great blessing opportunities that are there. As we read there in verse 4, so are arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of our youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Blessed is the word there. So when God gives us those children, Mom, it is the possibility, the opportunity of great blessings in our life. There are some hardships that are there. There is a tremendous responsibility that's there. But God can give great blessing as well through it there. Don't forget a mother's responsibility and a mother's example. And then about mothers, if you want to flip over to 1 Kings chapter 3, here we get into a mother's love. God has a lot to say about love. Jesus said it's the greatest fulfillment of the greatest of all the commandments there. If we love God, if we love one another, then we will fulfill all of the commandments that God has given to us. Titus 2:4 says that older women are to teach the younger women how to love their children. And that is important as well. But God even uses a mother's love as an example of His love for us in the Old Testament there. In Isaiah 66 in verse 13, it says, as one whom his mother comforteth, and that's a loving action, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. I'll have the same loving action toward you. A good example of a mother's love is found right here in 1 Kings 3, and I'm not going to take time to read verse 16 and following through the end of the chapter there. But it was through this that happens that Solomon became known, renowned for the wisdom that God had given him. There were two women that were pregnant, ready to be delivered. And the time came, and one woman, they were living in the same house there. One woman delivered the child there, had a boy. And then a day or so afterwards there, the other woman was delivered of a child, a boy. And the situation came where both of them were asleep one night, and by accident, one mother rolled over in the middle of the night asleep and smothered her child, and the child died. She woke up a little later and realized what she had done, and her child was dead, and began to grieve. But then she had an idea, and she looked over to the other woman and thought, And she took her boy and put it over next to her and took her dead child and laid it over against the other woman. And then the other woman woke up a little later to feed her child and realized her child was dead and was in great grief. But as morning came and she began to consider it, she realized, this is not my son. That is my son. And so she confronted the other woman. The other woman said, no, this is my son. That's your son, the dead one. And so this argument came on, and they brought him to the king. And Solomon there, in his wisdom, said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword, and they said, cut the child in half and give one woman the one half and the other woman the other half. And the real mother spoke up and said, no, do the child no harm. Let the other woman have him. Now, here was an illustration that this mother loved her child enough that she would even sacrifice her own desire to raise her child for the benefit of her child. I would rather this other woman raise my child than for my child to die, to be cut in half. And with that, of course, Solomon knew that the woman that responded that way was the real mother. And he said, do the child no harm, but give it to this woman. She's the real mom. So we have here a mother's love. And what we see of that is a loving mother sacrifices her need for the benefit of the child. Do you know that one of the greatest child abuses there is in our nation today in neglect is in this very area? There are so many mothers today in our society that are so selfish to please their own selves that their children suffer and are neglected and don't have what they need so that the mom could have what she wants. That should never be. That is not the way that God has designed it. And there should be, and there should be a natural desire within a mom to give and sacrifice of herself for her children. And I hope that that would be the illustration that comes from your life, moms, that are here today, that you sacrifice your need on the behalf of your child. Also, a loving mother always desires what is best for their child, even when the child doesn't agree. Moms, could I say something to you that sometimes, some days, you're going to feel like that you're constantly saying no. That you constantly have to say, you can't have that, or you can't do that. I've seen it even here recently. Children that they're too young and they want to climb some steps. That looks interesting. And the mom says, no, you can't climb those steps. You're going to fall. I want to go out and play in the road there. It's nice and it's level. And no, you can't go out and play in the road. Well, why? You get the picture. As a mother, you want what is best for your child. And sometimes they don't agree with what is best. But while they're in your care, that's your responsibility. And sometimes you have to be the tough mom to say no. Don't let it deter you. Be a good example of a mother's love. A mother's honor is also seen in Scripture. Many Scriptures stress the importance of honoring our parents, especially our mothers. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father." The word fear there means reverence, to give honor to. Deuteronomy 27:16, "Cursed be he that makes light of his father or of his mother." Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Ephesians 6, 1-3, "Your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise." The first of the 10 commandments. It's the 5th commandment, but it's the first one that had promise that was tagged to it, that it says in verse 3, "that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth." There, without question, mother is to be honored for her position as well as her person. So I ask you this morning, moms, are you doing what God says when it comes to being a mom? Do you have faith? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe God's Word? Do you have faithfulness in your life that's an example to your children that come after you? And how are you when it comes to archery? Shaping that arrow, aiming it in God's direction for that life, and then being willing and able to let it go. Children, could I ask, how are you doing when it comes to honoring God's mom for you? There's no accident that you have been born in her family. We need the responsibility of honoring them as well. I'd like to end with this poem, Why God Made Mothers. It says, "When God made the world, He was pleased with it all and had sweet communion with man to the fall. But when Satan's dread victory that day led to sin, God paused and He thought, I need someone to win the hearts of the little ones ere they grow cold and they yield to sin's temptations and stray from the fold. And so God made mothers with hearts brimmed with love. To them He commissioned this charge from above, to pray for the little ones fervently daily, to laugh with them, cry with them, play with them daily, to teach them the truths from the Scriptures of old, to be strong and gentle, to be meek and bold, to wash little feet when her own feet were aching, to mold broken hearts when her own heart was breaking. And so God made mothers and planned to be so, when her children were grown, that she must let them go, with eyes full of tears, yet her heart full of joy, to know she'd done best for her girl or her boy. And God said, when surveying His work, so I'm told, a God-fearing mother is worth far more than gold. Happy Mother's Day today, mothers. And children, let's remember to honor the mom that God has given us. Every head bowed, please. As we conclude the service here, I hope that you understand that moms, dads, children, the greatest thing that we could ever do as a parent or as a child is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here today and you're not sure of what I'm speaking of, and I'm not talking about membership, I'm not talking about baptism, I'm not talking about trying to do the best you can or anything of that nature. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not sure that you understand what that relationship is and how you can get it, we would like to be able to speak to you today before you leave about that. Just a moment, we'll have an invitation to give you an opportunity to respond. But for the rest, you moms that are here, I encourage you to be the faithful example that you should be and the loving example that you should be. Our flesh fights against it. But let me say, in the long run, your faithfulness as an example will be a great blessing as you watch your children hereafter. For you children that are here, it may be some moms, a mom that you need to go to today and apologize for the disobedience or for the attitude or even the rebellion that has been in your heart. And I pray that each one of you children could have a relationship with your mom that is sweet, that is respectful and loving, that they would appreciate because God has placed them there with that purpose. Father, I ask that you would help each one of us, both from the standpoint of children, to our parents, to our moms, and for us that are here today, that are moms, I pray that you would strengthen and encourage each one of them to be the example that they should be. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.